Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. You are in for a treat today. Today we have Tracy Michaud joining us. And Tracy is a dedicated wife. She is a loving mother, a blessed grandmother. She lives in West Michigan with her husband Albert and their two chihuahuas. She is also a trauma survivor. She has survived so much in her life, from abuse to neglect, rejection, and the loss of her leg. Now she enjoys spending quality time with her family. She also enjoys biking on her custom-made hand cycle, swimming and kayaking, going on long drives with no destination in mind, and watching the sunset year-round on Lake Michigan. And I look forward to sharing this story with Tracy Michaud today.
If I'm being honest, I didn't think you'd stay with all my problems. I was so afraid that when you saw them, you would turn your back on me and leave. 'Cause in the silence, my insecurities are like a siren taking over me, and I can't hide. Even then you see the best of me that I can't see. Even at my worst, you love me. You wrap your arms around and you hold me close. Even at my worst, you give something I don't deserve. You love me even at my worst. When I feel bad,
excited about our next guest. We have Tracy Michaud, and I've been looking forward to this conversation. And I know we haven't known each other very long, but from what I do, Tracy, your story is just amazing, and you are just so sweet. And I'm really privileged that you have taken the time to talk to us about your new book that's coming out.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to be here today. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Now, just to start out, I know you have a really, really powerful story, but can you just kind of start out and tell us something a little fun about yourself?
Yeah, well, I love to physically challenge myself. I was born and raised near the shore of Lake Michigan, and I absolutely love the beauty and the peace that it brings when I'm near it. After my leg amputation, it was several years before I learned how to use forearm crutches. That opened me up to a whole new world to see and explore where the wheelchair was not able.
Okay.
And I am blessed to live near Mount Baldhead Park. And this park has over 300 stairs that brings you to a breathtaking view overlooking Kalamazoo River and the city of Saugatuck to the east. And to the west is a dune that will lead you directly to Lake Michigan. For years, I ascended the stairs, balancing on my crutches while resting at the top while I watched others descend the dune. And one day with my family, I decided I was going to join them on the trek to Lake Michigan. So on my crutches, down the dune I went.
Oh my.
It was definitely one of the most demanding challenges I put myself through. But I was determined to reach Lake Michigan, and I did. I was exhausted and experienced knee pain for weeks.
Oh,
but
my.
No matter what adventure I try, for me, the pain is worth the beauty of God's creation every single time.
Wonderful. Well, over and over again, as I was reading your book, you are one very determined woman. You are a determined young lady, and you are a determined woman now. So that does not surprise me at all that you went, you know what? Bring it on. I'm going to take this on. So kudos to you. That is great. And as you mentioned, you do have a very, very powerful story. You have just went through a lot. I mean, you have been through just an amazing amount of stuff in your life. And how throughout all of that have you been able to stay positive? Because, when we first met, I had no idea what your story was. And yet you were always just really positive and kind. So how have you been able to keep that attitude through all of it?
Everyone has something that drags them down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone has a season that they would rather not have. But when I'm in a funk, what works for me is to remember it's just a season. Nothing lasts forever. And I look for the blessings in spite of the brokenness.
Yeah.
For example, when I was in that accident and I'm on a ventilator and I'm hooked up to all these things, the question that was burning in my mind is, how am I going to get my life back? And one of the questions that was rattling around for me was, am I ever going to be able to drive again? Or now am I going to have to be completely dependent on someone else to take me, to come and go? Am I ever going to have my independence back? And the blessing for me, after I got out of traction, I was sent to a facility that specialized in driving programs for amputees.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's not ideal to be missing a leg, but the blessing in the midst of it is that I can drive with hand controls.
Wonderful. That is great.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the accident. That's not the only thing. The accident and the amputee, that isn't the only thing that you have had to overcome. You've had to overcome some really horrific abuse by your stepfather. And one of the things you talked about was that he groomed you. And I've heard of talk like that. And can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and that what people should know to look for? Because there were, even while it was going on, the other people in your life didn't really realize it was going on. Or if they did, they chose to ignore it. So what does that look like? And what are some things that we could look for if someone else is going through this so that we can notice it and perhaps intervene and stop it?
Well, first of all, I just got to tell you, predators like my stepfather are charismatic and manipulative and experts at camouflaging their behavior.
Okay.
I'm not a professional. I can only speak from my experience with this. So in my elementary years, when my mother was not around, my stepfather would let me stay up late and tell me that it's our special time, our little secret. He began tickling me and touching me inappropriately and later having me view porn with him, again, telling me that was our secret.
Okay.
Again, I'm not a professional. I can only speak from my experience, but I would say some of the things to look for are a change of behavior in your child. If they suddenly want to be with you all the time, or they become afraid to be with a certain person, mm-hmm. sleep disturbances, or a change in their eating habits, whether they are eating excessively or not eating at all. Also being picky about their clothes, or hesitant or avoiding removing clothing for bath time.
Okay.
I can't speak to all circumstances of abuse, but what I know for certain is that predators like my stepfather are brilliant at manipulating situations so that they look like they are helpful and unquestionable.
Yeah. Sadly, there are too many stories of that mm-hmm. being the case, and they are mm-hmm. very calculating and manipulative and placing themselves in situations where it does. And so then people tend to question the victim more than the predator. And I can only mm-hmm. imagine it's almost like a secondary kind of abuse or a secondary mm-hmm. trauma, that you're enduring the abuse, but then nobody believes you or you're afraid to yes. do that. And if a child were to come to an adult or a trusted person or their parent, what are some of the ways that we can be helpful in our response to that sort of thing? Because it's got to be shocking news to come to someone, yeah. to have that come to somebody's attention. And what sort of, fears do they need to overcome in hearing this kind of information?
Well, first of all, believe your child. If your child comes to you and says that they're not comfortable being with someone or that someone is touching them inappropriately, take that really seriously. Believe them. Believe what your child is telling you is true, because it takes great courage to tell someone.
Yeah.
Predators are really good at making it look like they are heroes in the kid's life. So, what you want to do is take the child seriously and know that you're doing your best to protect them.
Okay.
And that this isn't mom's fault. From my experience, it's the predator's fault.
Yeah.
And your child is a survivor, and they are not to blame for what the abuser did to them. They are not responsible for this horrific violation that crossed boundaries. Although your child may feel yucky or ashamed by this, mm-hmm. there is hope, because help is available. And healing from the abuse will involve dealing with feelings. But children are resilient, and healing is a process.
And it takes some time. It takes a lot of time. It's taken a lot of time to get into that situation, and it's going to take some time to get out. So I imagine being patient as well, believing mm-hmm. them, but being patient that the child also may have behaviors or something that are kind of difficult given what they're going through or have gone through, that maybe some empathy and some compassion on some of that would be helpful.
Yes.
As I've mentioned, it is such a powerful story. That's only one piece of the puzzle, because in the midst of that, you were in a horrible accident, and you lost your leg. So mm-hmm. you've been living life as an amputee, which is very difficult. And what can you share to help people? Because, I think people immediately think of the having only one leg, there's the physical challenges, but there's a lot more to it. It's not just the physical. So what are some of the other challenges in living life with one leg?
Yeah. Well, again, everybody's got something that they got to deal with. But one of the biggest struggles for me is, don't park so close to the door of my van in the handicapped parking spot. I can't tell you how many times I sat in my chair waiting to get into my vehicle because somebody parked so close that I can't get my ramp down.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Or another real struggle I have encountered on numerous occasions, even at church, is trying to use the restroom. Okay. More often than not, the wheelchair accessible stall is the farthest from the entrance. And again, I cannot tell you how many times I've waited in a restroom while the other stalls are completely unoccupied, and then witness a fully abled person walk out of the stall and then look directly at me and say, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Well, at least they apologized.
Right?
That would be a little difficult as well. Now, if someone is facing the loss of a limb or in their own life, what sort of, because you're really a very positive person, what is some of the hope that you can offer them? I mean, we talked about the challenges, but what are some of the hopes that you can offer someone?
Yeah, I remember my first year. I had so many questions like, are people going to stare at me? Am I going to be able to drive? Or how would trying on clothes in a dressing room work? Or would I be able to buy one shoe or always have to pay for both, even though I didn't need both? Am I ever going to adjust to this?
Yeah.
But what I can tell you 3 decades into this now is that it's only the handicap that you allow it to be. Our bodies leak and creak and break and betray us. And we all have to make accommodations in one way or another.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We all have different things that we struggle or maybe are. I love that. Our bodies leak and creak. And I can definitely identify that with at times, different days, different mm-hmm. body parts are creaking more than others. And so, yeah, we all have our different challenges on for various and sundry reasons, whether it's temporary or long term that we're having to do that. But I also liked mm-hmm. how earlier you mentioned so many of these things are a season. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you have the rest of your life with only one leg. It's not like one's going to magically grow back. No matter your amazing faith and you're trusting God, I doubt he's going to have your leg grow back at this point. But we do have so many other things out there. You mentioned the crutches and still being able to tackle the dune and go to Lake Michigan. So there's still so many things, even though you are challenged or your body doesn't look like everybody else's, there's still so many things that you can enjoy in life.
Yeah.
And I do. I love how you frequently would point out all of the good things that were going on, that even though there were some challenges and that there was always something good that you could point to that was going on, whether it was somebody that was helping or someone that offered something. And I just love how you were able to focus on that in your book. And I've neglected to actually ask you what the name of the book is so far. We've talked about you've written this story and it's coming out. And tell us what the name of the book is and how they can get it.
The book is called Broken and Blessed: How God Set Me Free from Abuse, Dysfunctional Relationships, and Generational Sin. And the book is coming out very soon.
Yes.
To redemptionpress.com, also amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and wherever books are sold.
Okay. Well, look forward to that. That is going to be great because we keep mentioning the book and you really are. I admire your transparency in the book and you talked about with the amputation and dealing with the pain. And one of the few things that helped you was the medical marijuana, and it definitely has a stigma to it. I know for me growing up, marijuana always had a specific stigma to it. And people would say it's for medicinal purposes. And I'm like, yeah, like alcohol, they say is medicinal, or you kind of look askance at it. But the more research that has come out is there really are quite a few benefits given if you take the THC out, there are quite a few advantages to it with relatively few side effects. So can you speak to some of that?
Yeah, I realize that medical marijuana and that question is really polarizing. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some people who will always feel like marijuana is dangerous and of the devil. And there will be other people who think it is a godsend.
Yeah.
For me, it was a personal choice. This legal pharmaceutical marijuana that I got with a prescription from my doctor, I found very helpful in relieving phantom pain and the debilitating chronic pain that I experience daily. And not only does it assist with pain, but it reduces inflammation. And, you know, I agree with you. It does carry a stigma in Christian communities as well.
Yeah.
When I mentioned to a little group of women that I was in church with, and they told me, you know, I shouldn't use it as a Christian. So for a period of time, I laid it down because of the shame they put on me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wrong. I don't believe a loving God would want me to suffer unnecessarily because I was trying to satisfy somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into a big legality of it, but I can only speak from my experience with it. Mm-hmm. And the relief I get allows me to do everyday chores around the home in my wheelchair independently.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that it's available to those who need it, mm-hmm. even if it's frowned upon by those who disagree or do not understand.
Yeah. And there's still a lot of mystery about mm-hmm. it, and a lot of misinformation as well regarding all of that and the CBD oils and all of that. I've spoken to several people and looked at some of the research, and there really are quite a few benefits if used correctly. Obviously, you yes. can abuse anything.
That's true.
But within moderation, and that, it really can be quite helpful. Now, you mentioned phantom pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never understood about what phantom pain is. So can you tell us, what is phantom pain?
Phantom pain is the pain and sensations that I experience. It could be at any given moment, I could feel like a sharp stabbing knife, like stabbing into my leg, or a constant nagging all day long of just tingling pricks, like an electric shock. And by what I understand myself is that because the nerve endings are still alive, what they had to cut and sew into my residual limb, my stump, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Those nerve endings are still alive. So the phantom pain, it's there. It's real. It's, for me, it's almost been 35 years and I still have it.
Wow.
And it's a constant struggle. Some days are worse than others, but I've learned to live with it and deal with it just like I have with missing the limb itself.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I always had the feeling or the impression or the understanding that if you lost a limb, it wasn't there anymore. And so you're not going to feel it. And it never occurred to me until much later that, no, because of those nerves, you still do. It's still sending signals to the brain. So you do
yeah.
still feel pain or discomfort around, even though the limb isn't even there. And I had mm-hmm. never understood that earlier on. I figured if somebody didn't have a leg or hand, that they're not going to feel anything because it's not there. But that's not necessarily the case. So I never really understood that. So I wanted you to have a chance to explain to people that that isn't really the case with any of that. And with all of this, over and over and over in the book, talking about all these, you know, challenges and this and that and the other, your faith has played such an incredible role in mm-hmm. bringing you around, helping you to heal and all of that. So please tell us more about how your faith has played into your healing and your growth and placing you where you are now.
Yeah, I believe God sees everything. And deep in my heart, I just believe that he would make all things right. Although at the time I didn't know what that looked like, it was my faith in God that got me through every single one of the things I write about in my book. The abuse, the parental rejection, the hospitalization and amputation. And it was my faith in God and ultimate surrender to Jesus so that the Holy Spirit would come into my life and lead me and comfort me in all the things that I had endured. And still, he guides me in all circumstances, every day. The more I depend on him, the more I trust him, the easier it is to find the blessings, even in the brokenness.
Yeah, and I do admire so much your transparency in all of this. And given the circumstances that you grew up in mm-hmm. and everything else, it's really no surprise at all that as you went through, there were times when you made decisions that you were not proud of, that you may have regretted and weren't happy with. But what would you tell someone, even despite all of the terrible situations and some of the choices that you weren't proud of? What would you tell someone if they're thinking, oh, well, surely, you know, that's really great for her. I'm glad that God's forgiven her and she's turned her life around and all that, but I'm too far gone. I've made too many decisions, too many bad decisions, too many mistakes. God can't love me anymore. And I'm too late, or it's too much for me to overcome. I'm not going to be able to turn my life around. What would you say to someone if those were some of the thoughts that were going on in their head?
Well, our God is a gracious, loving, kind God, full of mercy, and there is hope for everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done or what was done to you, that there is hope and forgiveness and freedom available for them too, to live a joy-filled life. And God loves them unconditionally, regardless of whatever circumstance they found themselves in.
Well, that is wonderful. And I think you are in a place after going through what you have gone through and what you talk about in your book. I think you have a lot of credibility in being able to say that, because you've kind of been there and done that. You've gone through horrible situations, and yet you have come out praising God, saying, yep, you know what? I made some mistakes. There was some nasty stuff in my background, but God is still faithful. He is still good. And he has really shown himself big in some of the situations in your life in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it must just really warm your heart to see not just the little day-to-day things that he may say, give a wink at. I like the little God winks he gives us every now and again, but he's really shown himself to work some pretty amazing miracles in your life and in your family and your loved ones' lives. And it's just really, really incredible for me to read that. It's very inspiring. And is there anything else that you want to make sure that you share with us about, no matter what anybody has gone through, you know, the hope and the love and the healing that God can bring in their lives?
Again, I just want to encourage anyone who reads the book to know that regardless of the circumstances that they find themselves in, that there is hope, forgiveness, and freedom available to them to live a joy-filled life every single day. Like the Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I admire your determination, your tenacity, your courage in sharing this story. And I really appreciate all of that you've done to share with that, and your tenacity in getting through all of this. So thank you so much. And one last time, in case someone forgot or now they're interested, what is the name of the book and how can they get it?
The book is called Broken and Blessed, How God Set Me Free from Abuse, Dysfunctional Relationships, and Generational Sin. And they can go to my website, tracymashaud.com, redemptionpress.com, also amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and wherever books are sold.
Okay, wonderful. So we want to, hopefully people will go out there and get that book and just be inspired by your story. And thank you so much for spending the time with us today, Tracy, and sharing your story and being so open and hopeful about everything.
Yeah, it has been a joy. Thank you, Lisa.
Very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today on A Woman's Heart. I'm Lisa Granger. I hope you were inspired and encouraged by our conversation today with Tracy Michaud. If you want to listen again or share with a friend, please go to our website at wmbgradio.com/A Woman's Heart. Have a very blessed day.